That was Kenny. Joel Radio, what's going on, everybody? What a great start, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get this right by the 22nd.
No, it's fine. Well, we're going to have 10 attempts at this, like Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
We just came back. I have put together the Jedi Council here on Joel Radio. Okay. Third year running for this. The Star Wars review, night of the show. So this is should be the world's first podcast review.
And we're going to go minute by minute through Star Wars The Last Jedi. So this will be a 2.5 hour extravaganza. Right.
Before I introduce everybody, I just want to say a couple things. Number one, we will be spoiler free, at least for a portion of this. So if you haven't seen it, and again, we're doing this real early. It's Thursday night as we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, if you haven't seen Star Wars The Last Jedi, then you will have time to go see that. You can listen to the first 20, say, minutes of this. Mm-hmm. We'll let you know when we're going to go all spoilers. And then we'll talk about the actual plot points and those things, because there's always those. And that's why people go to some degree, right, for Star Wars, Corey?
I don't know why people go to Star Wars.
Well, we're going to talk. All right, come on. And we'll give our general thoughts, I think, too, if we liked it or not, before we go on. And we all went to the theater tonight. I'm here. Let's just introduce the rest of the panel then. Josh Boab is joining us again. Here he is. Part
Thank
man,
you,
part Wookiee.
It was a one-man clap.
From Kashyyyk, Josh Boab.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm as gray as
Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker, yeah.
In hiding.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the grayness of Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. It went away.
Don't ruin it. See, there's a spoiler already.
Sorry.
Take two. Josh, remember what I just said, dude?
The dude's hair got darker?
His hair gets longer and shorter. What's going on in here? But Josh did Rogue One review with us last year. We had a good time at that, and he's back again. And also from last year's Rogue One review, she made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. The first lady to do so. She doesn't seem impressed. Did you get the reference?
No.
That's all right. That's cool.
She's more of a Jar Jar fan, remember?
Is she? Well, Ellen Stakowicz.
I'm not impressed with my appearance. I did admit that I had if you remember the last show.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason why I mentioned I was a fan of Jar Jar was because I was disillusioned, and that the prequels came out when I was like 3 years old.
Yeah.
I was in a preschool class, and we were dumb kids, and we bought into the consumerism, and a kid came in with a Jar Jar action figure for show and tell, and it was cool. And
well,
I remember the class glowing with excitement.
And it will always be cool in your mind.
And it really messed with me, because I grew up with the assumption that everybody liked the prequels.
Yeah, well, welcome to our world. But Corey and I and Josh, I need to speak for you two, we're OG. I've seen every Star Wars film in the theater.
Yeah.
From the first one. I've seen every one. And I was a wee lad when the original Star Wars came out. I actually saw it in 78, I think. I didn't even see it in 77. It played for so long, and I was so young by the time I saw it in the theater. It was
it pretty much played for like 3 years.
Yeah, it just it never stopped playing, which is a completely different...
And then they put it back out right before Empire came out?
They would re-release all of those. So I remember seeing Empire's re-release, you know, seeing it originally, and then, you know, because there wasn't home video, so you had to, if you wanted to see it again, you had to go back and see it and re-release it.
I don't quite remember seeing Star Wars in the theater, but I remember seeing the trailer for Return of the Jedi in the theater in front of a movie and losing my little mind. So, we're old, Ellen.
So,
I think it's cool.
Well, thank you.
It's a treasure trove.
I like having you here because, one, you're a woman, which is rare in the world of Star Wars. Corey and I were looking at the line of guys going into the next screening, and I go, look at that womanless mass of humanity coming into Star Wars.
It looked like the First Order tryouts.
It really did.
It was a lot of British character actors.
A row of Hucks coming in.
I don't know why. I was remembering, do you remember that big publicity stunt that they did, like, maybe like two or three years before The Force Awakens came out, where they're like, we're going to cast a complete unknown. And they had all of these like, personally invited to come to this audition that they had, where people would just I just
to be in.
Hundreds of people were showing up thinking that they had a chance to be the next.
To be Ray, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And they cast a model from London.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, way to
for
go.
Sure.
That's the way
I
that all is.
I remember going to that.
Open calls are just publicity for the movie.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Show business.
Well, that's the same thing in comedy, too. If
oh, yeah.
No, I mean, if there's like, it's an HBO audition or whatever,
yeah,
like,
a
lot of those are just like, you know, publicity for the club.
All right, so Last Jedi, this is the second in the, this is episode 8, technically. It is the 9th Star Wars movie, but episode 8, because Rogue One kind of came out there and is a Star Wars story and not an official Star Wars movie, which to me is weird, I guess. Although they killed everybody in Rogue One, so I guess they're done with those guys.
Yeah, no harm,
we'll move
foul.
On. They'll do prequels to Rogue One, and that will happen, by
they
the
really
way.
They really did kill everybody
in Rogue One.
One,
yeah,
yeah.
Which is interesting. Which we should talk about that when it. Okay, so Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Rian Johnson, who directed a movie called Looper, which was pretty good. We previewed this on the Last Jedi Radio.
As well as
sci-fi movie, yeah. But that was not a sci-fi movie.
No.
I feel like Looper was the audition for this. In the sense that that's kind of that was kind of a Terminator movie, kind of a time travel sci-fi movie.
There's been this attempt to cast interesting directors to take over these franchises, and most of the time it doesn't work because did they not fire? They fired
a bunch of guys
fired Lord Miller off the Han Solo movie, and then the
Colin Trevorrow,
the sequel to this,
yes.
I don't know why they didn't just let Rian Johnson do the next one after this.
Well, they've already announced what Rian Johnson's doing after.
Okay.
He's doing the next trilogy.
Oh.
Is Rian Johnson's project.
Wait, there's going to be another trilogy.
Right. Here's the timeline of Star Wars.
I knew there was going to be a Han Solo movie.
There's going to be Star Wars movies until your ovaries fall out.
All right, here's what's going to happen.
It's going to keep going forever and
so
ever.
So the next movie is the Han Solo Star Wars story, the prequel to, you know, young Han Solo. And then the next, it's called Solo. Ron Howard ended up directing it because they got rid of those other guys, Lord Miller. Then there's going to be Episode 9, which is the direct sequel, Last Jedi, and J.J. Abrams is going to direct that.
Yeah.
Originally, it was going to be Colin Trevorrow, who made Jurassic World,
and
a movie called Safety Not Guaranteed, which was actually pretty good.
And then he made a movie called The Book of Charlie.
It came out this year, right?
One of the worst reviewed movies of all time. And I think that...
It was enough to say.
I mean, it got savaged.
Yeah.
Like, people just ripped it anew. I didn't hate it as much as the reviewers, most of the reviewers did, but just people, it was amazing. It was like when Eddie Murphy lost his Oscar nomination because in the time between the Golden Globes and the Oscar nominations,
Norbit came out.
And everybody went oh hell no. It was
so,
Eddie Murphy in a fat suit farting on a water slide.
All right. I'm trying to stick to this movie.
I know you're trying
to stick to this movie.
I'm trying to talk
everywhere.
About anything else but this piece of shit.
Well, oh, stop it. So The Last Jedi. And then, and by the way, Rian Johnson got full writing credit on this as well. So
okay.
All right, so I guess we're into general reviews. How many
crayons did it take him to write this one?
All right, well, Corey did not. Let's start with you then. You are thumbs up, thumbs down, in the middle. Where are you?
I'm actually not as hard on it as I'm just doing a bit.
Yeah.
But I have some big issues.
No
with
spoilers
it.
For now,
right.
But general thoughts.
I mean, how many are we doing fingers? Are we saving that for later?
Thumbs up, thumbs down, I think is
I guess
fine.
It's a thumbs up marginally, but yeah.
Yeah. Josh, any thoughts?
So halfway through the movie, in my mind, I was giving it a 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10, ooh.
By the end of the movie, I would say the second half, I would give a 7 out of 10.
Oh, so you like the second half more than the first half.
Yeah. So
interesting.
It probably evens out at a 6.
All right. Ellen, let's get your thoughts.
It felt like there were several movies all packed into one.
Yeah, that's a good observation.
It kind of felt like a bunch of interns all had a story plot that they wanted to pitch. And they're like, we'll just throw it all in the second part of the sequel.
Okay.
You got to revive it by the last movie. So
number,
it's kind of
stars, anything?
Stars?
Yeah.
You know what?
For what it was,
it's Star Wars. It's okay to be a little bit cheesy. It's okay to...
Okay.
I'm fine with that. But because I think there was just so much going on,
they
needed to kind of just focus on one thing. Maybe, I'd give it a 7.
Okay.
Well, okay, so there's...
I haven't given my review yet. Here's my thing. This movie is all... Ellen kind of hit the nail on the head. It's all over the goddamn place. There's stuff in this that is the absolute worst thing in any Star Wars movie ever made. I wanted the prequels to start immediately. I was hoping the film would burn out and they would immediately start showing me, you know, kid Anakin walking around and building a fucking pod racer. There's stuff in here. Yeah. I'm going to get to it. That is some of the worst stuff I've ever seen on celluloid or whatever digital format. It's so much garbage, garbage, garbage. And then at the same time, there's stuff that's really nice. Some of the nostalgic stuff is great. I think that the action stuff is very, very well done. Mm-hmm. It's competently made, of course, because it's Disney and you know, they're going to throw $1 billion at that, and they did. There are actors that are horribly miscast. Mm-hmm. There are actors I want to put in my car and drive them to the edge of show business and say, get the fuck out of here. Because they're that bad. But again, you know, it really comes down to, I think, casting, and there's people that just shouldn't be in this.
Well,
because there's several new characters, we'll get to those. And I thought some of them were good and some of them were bad.
And that's part of what Ellen's getting to, is that we have all of the old characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that are left.
Yeah.
We have the old characters.
For the original trilogy guys.
And then we have the characters introduced in the last movie.
Yeah.
Or I'm not counting Rogue
Force
One.
Awakens,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the trilogy. Then you've got some new characters that are introduced. And there's just, like, it doesn't stop. And you're kind of like...
And I think this also... Here's what I felt. And I know we've talked about this before about movies, and I can't remember if it was Marvel specifically, Corey, but, you know, this felt like episodic television. This felt like a couple episodes of Game of Thrones. That's as good as this is.
Yes. It felt like a half a season of
Game of Thrones. That's what I mean. It felt like this was, like, three Game of Thrones episodes. And, you know, Game of Thrones can be great or it can be very good, and sometimes it's just there. And I felt like so much of this was just there. And, you know, it's funny, I read a review. I didn't read any spoilers in reviews, but I think it might have been USA Today that the guy said. He said, you know, you could have just seen, you know, the last movie and then go see the next movie and you wouldn't really miss much. And I guess I was probably most of the way through when I thought maybe that I was kind of with him. Well, I think by the end, I still think you need to see this if you're a Star Wars fan. So I guess my thumb is... In the middle, it's slightly up. Just slightly.
Do you want to clarify?
Okay.
I had fun with it, though.
Okay.
Well,
well,
you just kind
of we had
go.
Fun watching you watch it. Fun.
Yeah, watching Ellen watch the movie is very entertaining.
I just kind of moved my hand a little bit.
You got into it a little bit.
You put your hand over your mouth at one point.
Kind of like, that's what I saw.
You're very expressive. Whether you know it or not, you're very expressive.
If this is, I don't know if it's going to be a spoiler or not, I thought there was going to be a kiss several times, and I was
We'll talk about that. Okay. So I would say if you're a big Star Wars fan, you've seen all the other movies, you enjoyed them, there's no reason to not see this. If you're not into I think for a lot of people this will be the point, and I kind of felt like this too myself, where I went like, yeah, my curiosity's done. Like, because you know how like you in your mind, especially like at the end of Return of the Jedi, like, what would the next Star Wars be? And then they gave us, you know, Force Awakens all these years later, and it was kind of like, yeah, that was pretty cool what they did. And I was wondering what they were going to do with Han Solo, and then they did it, and it's cool we got to see that. And I feel like we've seen all of that. I don't think there's any, after this movie, there's going to be any original trilogy loose ends to wrap up. It doesn't feel like. It feels like everything's been done and is out there. I feel like we're getting close to spoiler stuff, but anything else,
well,
Josh?
I felt...
We'll just turn open the...
Corey hit the nail on the head. Halfway through the movie, I kind of realized in shock and horror that we are going to have this franchise forever.
Yeah, we are. And they're almost like, and in fact, I think the last shot of the movie is kind of like, yeah, here you go. You want 20 years of Star Wars? Bam. There it is. You know, I don't know. I mean, look, it's not... You could have made a better movie by getting a pair of scissors and cutting some of this stuff out. We're going to talk about that in a second, right? Anyone agree that it was it's the longest Star Wars movie by far?
You know what? I will say
I think it's 20 minutes longer than Force Awakens, and I think that was the longest one to that point.
I feel like we've reached a point in movie technology where we could do a lot, like, special effects-wise. So they were really trying to just sell something hard with the story by...
The characters.
And I think that's why there was so much packed into it, because now they... You got to focus more on the story, because like the special effects can do anything. That's not going to captivate an audience anymore. So they're reverting back.
But I mean, these are the best special effects you can.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like the most money poured into them.
Yeah, you can't do any better.
There's
today.
Not one shot of CGI. Well, actually, there was one shot of CGI that looked dodgy.
Yeah. Well, we can save it for the spoilers. Yeah. Remember that. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of like, in a way, are we to the thing where it's kind of like the Lord of the Rings movies were great, and then they made The Hobbit with advanced technology, and no one gave a shit. And even though those movies had some amazing stuff in those Hobbit movies,
I think you're underlining my biggest problem with Star Wars.
Yeah, is it spoiler free or are we...
Yeah, well, it's spoiler free and it does not specifics.
Yeah,
but we've seen it all.
Well, there's that too. All right, I think we've said our general thoughts. If anyone has anything else, throw it in.
So
if that, we're
pause
gonna,
this podcast.
Well, we're going to put it on spoiler cast now. I think, back after you've seen it.
You're
getting
and we'll ruin it.
You're getting a consensus. If you're a Star Wars fan, go see this. I think that's our consensus. I'm going to, and again, my thing is more like some good stuff, some bad stuff, extreme polar, really good stuff, really bad stuff. I think I'm going to compare this a lot to Force Awakens, and I think that I enjoyed Force Awakens. I watched it today. I watched some of it last night when I was stuck in a hotel, which we'll talk about next week on the show. But I watching that multiple times, Force Awakens annoyed me this last time in a lot of ways. And I think that this movie fixed a lot of those issues for me.
One general non-spoiler question.
Maybe created its own.
One general non-spoiler question. Are the expectations too high for Star Wars movies?
Could be. I mean, they're considered the greatest genre, you know, sci-fi genre movies ever.
Can I ask a quick question? Not being a movie fan like you guys, like, I think Rogue One was great. I think we all agreed with that. Why not use that director? Like, why are there so much?
I don't know. Well, I think they don't want to put their eggs in one basket.
And I think there's the projects overlap, and it's too much
they're
for
shooting
one guy.
At the same
but
time.
The, that guy, Gareth Edwards, who I really like, he made a movie called Monsters that was fantastic a few years back, and he made that Godzilla reboot, which was really good. They kind of removed him at the end of that one, too.
Oh.
Because they did the reshoots with somebody else, and that was the whole Vader boarding.
That's
the blockade
problem.
Runner, which everybody thought was cool, that was done in reshoots. So, it seems like what's going on is that the producers have taken over. They are dictating what's happening.
The tragedy of Star Wars is that it was created by George Lucas, who was upset that they tried to take the cut of THX-1138 away from him.
Yeah.
And he had a big success with American Graffiti. And so he was allowed to go do this Star Wars movie. And he said, screw you. I'm going to do this the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
And he was the Rebels. George was the Rebels.
In a way,
and his friends, Spielberg was the only one who really believed in him.
Right.
Spielberg was like Obi-Wan. And, you know, Brian De Palma was like, this is a piece of shit, George. You should shelve this. And all that stuff. And George Lucas, the Rebel, made a movie that shook Hollywood to its core. Broke box office records, was an incredible success. He reinvented the whole universe in his own image, took the merchandising rights, which was like a brilliant masterstroke because they were like, who cares about some toys? Right? And what happens? It becomes an evil empire.
Well, all right.
And now the evilest of empires, Disney, owns it, and they're shitting on all of our dreams.
Oh, we're good for spoilers now,
yeah,
right?
Spoilers.
They have the cute animals.
They got the toys now.
They do.
And they were cute, but that was like, come on, this is our Ewoks. Right.
Those were the Porgs. Those were the Porgs.
They were cute, but
they never said the name, or at least I didn't.
Well, I think I knew it before. I'd read it in an article.
Well, they did.
It's on the merchandise.
It's on the keychain that's for sale at the concession stand.
I'm getting some texts.
They were
and stuff.
Cute. Ellen popped.
A little odd looking, but they were.
As my friend Scott, who is a longtime comic book store worker, and a original dork, said this movie's about 45% animals.
Okay, well, there's
and
that.
They're the worst kind of Star Trek animals that are like Earth animals, but just space horse.
Okay, well, there's that. All right. let me get to the stuff that I, because that's going to come up in my thing. When I talked about the worst thing I've ever seen in a Star Wars movie, the sequence of going to the planet with a casino is absolutely abhorrent to anyone with any taste would not put that in their movie. And I almost think the only reason
when they went to Planet Great Gatsby,
that was so fucking
it's like,
weird.
What was that about?
It was because first of all, I was groaning at that point going to you because like every time they have to do the cantina bar scene. And that was this movie's version of it. We're like, they didn't say it's a greater hive of scum and villainy or whatever. They almost said that. They like rephrased that and somebody, I think it was Finn said that And it was kind of like, God, they're going to do this in every movie. And then they get there, and it's guys running around looking like alien Monopoly men with monocles and, like, coins falling out of their pockets.
No, they looked like they did. They looked like alien New Yorker cartoons.
It was so fucking weird and un-Star Wars.
And there were some of those prosthetics and some of the, like, makeup that literally had, like, heads that were, like, it was an alien, but he had, like, a long, droopy face like he was a snob.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it really looked stupid.
It looked horrible.
The concept of a casino planet or whatever.
Well, you said it was Monte Carlo.
Yeah, it was, like,
and
Space
I go, okay,
Monte
they're
Carlo.
Trying to do Space Monte Carlo. Okay.
Which, that could be okay.
But see, that in episodic television, in Star Trek, when you go to a different planet every week, you can take chances like that. But this is your big movie franchise. And you took, what, 30 minutes out of the movie to do this? And by the end of the movie, that scene only sets up that very last shot that I talked about earlier, which is the little stable boy kid who apparently is going to be a Jedi or something.
Yeah.
And it only sets that up because I feel like, why is that even in the that it's just it gave, you know, Finn something to do with Rose, but I mean the whole thing was just silly and dumb. And again, you did have those animals; they were like horses with cat faces, I guess is the best way to describe them. Thoroughbred horses, and they race and come on. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I will. We were introduced to the one coder character. I don't think I ever caught his name. The drunk guy. The
Benicio del Toro's.
Well, that's we're gonna get to actors in a second.
I'm just wondering if he's gonna play a bigger part in the next movie. And we also and then Rose made the good point. Like, well, these are the people who are selling the weapons to.
Yes.
That's why they're so rich. And I liked how that point was made. I thought the scene was a little cheesy, but I'm glad that that point was made. And
I just
saw like the evil, because like that's the type of evil you can see in the real world.
In terms of film, you would say that the mise-en-scène, meaning everything that was, you know, the look of it, the sound of it, and all of that was just wrong. I get what you're saying about the, you know, the weapons dealers and, hey, there's not everybody is good and bad. There are people that are just in it for the money. I mean, the Benicio del Toro guy, that whole plot twist was, I know that they're repeating things from the original things, but that was exactly what Lando Calrissian did. I mean, it was like, they're just fucking doing the Lando thing
now,
again.
I think I said to Josh. Yeah. I thought they were going to find Lando.
I thought they were too.
I was guaranteed they were going to find Lando in the casino.
At least a cameo appearance.
Lando was a smuggler and a gambler. He was a gambler, though.
Or
yeah.
When they were like, we're calling for help.
Yeah.
I was for sure that Lando, they were like, General Calrissian has arrived with the rest of the fleet.
General.
You know what I mean? Like, because he was a general.
The
Mon
Calamari have arrived with.
Lando led the entire armada that took out the second Death Star.
Yeah, that's true.
They had to give him something to do.
And now they're like, Billy D, I don't know why. Where's Billy D?
Well, do they bring him back? Because now there's essentially no one left except for Chewie and the droids, right? I mean, Princess Leia's alive at the end of this, but Carrie Fisher ain't, so what happens with her?
Was that CGI? Or
I thought, very early in the movie, they do the thing where, you know, she dies
and
you get all sad for her and she has this like heroic death and then she's not really dead. And I went like, oh, maybe they wrote that in because she died and she hadn't finished shooting. And so they sort of created this thing.
It was very eerie how they had that line, like she's unconscious, but she might come back. Because that was a thing with her death.
Yeah.
Where we thought she
she was on life support. Well, and
I thought, oh, they're giving this kind of an elegant way to.
Yeah,
say goodbye to
write
Carrie
her
Fisher,
out of the story. Yeah,
but that wasn't it.
She's the one that and you know now Luke is quote unquote dead. Whatever. And you know Han's dead, and so I don't know who's left. I mean Yoda came back, which by the way, I almost leaned over and went like, why is Yoda acting like Bill Cosby? Luke, with the force, it's not about the anger.
Put in the pudding the mouth you will.
Wasn't he talking all weird? Like, what, is Frank Oz okay? I mean, what?
He was having
a
stroke.
I think Frank Oz is stroked out, and now.
All right, well, okay, the late Carrie Fisher, bless her.
Yeah.
Sounded like she was on.
Well, she did too much coke.
She was on some barbiturates.
She's got no nasal cavities left.
She was all blowed out coke. This was, like, right before she died.
Right.
It was just like. Damn her, and I'm going to bust you down to Buck Private.
But she was, you know what, she was, okay, here's what, okay, let's go through the actors here real quick. Okay. Here's what I thought.
The one lady from Love Actually.
Laura Dern?
I don't know.
No, which one?
The
purple
old
haired lady.
Oh yeah, Laura Dern. Okay, well let's go. We'll talk about. Here's what we have.
Never mind.
Let's go through the old guy. No, we're gonna.
No,
talk
I'm
about
trying
Laura
to think
Dern.
Of Laura Dern. Laura Dern is not in Love Actually, but there's 800 actors in Love Actually. So
let's talk about the actors. I thought the original trilogy people were. I thought that they, you know, so basically Hamill and Carrie Fisher did a fine job.
This was actually Hamill,
I was fine.
This was
with
actually
them.
Hamill's best work.
But you know, Hamill's the Joker and all that animated stuff, and apparently he's great in that.
People,
so.
people shit on him in 1977.
They
when
did,
was,
yeah.
And he was kind of a bad actor.
He's probably a better actor now.
But I think he's a good actor now. And yeah, he does. He's the Joker.
And when him and Leia are on screen together, it did feel like Star Wars. You know, and when he's on screen with R2 and stuff. The Yoda thing actually got me a little nostalgic for like Empire Strikes Back, but
puppet,
then it,
okay,
it,
important point.
Yeah,
it was a puppet Yoda.
Oh no! Yeah, or was that. It a CGI thing that they made to look like the puppet? Because you have to remember in the original, when they did the prequels, it was a puppet in the first one, and then they replaced the puppet when they did
which
the special
was a bad
edition.
Move.
Yeah, I don't know, but they did go more to the puppet because they wanted evoke.
If it was a CGI Yoda,
yeah, I think it was a CGI Yoda.
He looked vastly better than he did in the prequels.
Yes, yeah,
and it looked like a puppet. Okay. I was like, I thought it was an actual puppet.
All right. Let me go on to the Force Awakens actors.
Now we've spoiled this thing completely.
Well, but we've told people before. I thought Oscar Isaacs did a nice job.
Oscar Isaacs was great.
I thought Adam Driver was very good.
Well, the core okay. character, the core new characters or whatever, the core of the hero team.
Yeah.
And Adam Driver, they're all good.
Okay. Well,
and
okay.
they were likable in Force Awakens.
Daisy Ridley I thought was fine. She didn't blow me away.
I thought
she was
good.
Fine. John Boyega, they didn't give anything to do. And John Boyega's a really good actor. He was like Sidney Poitier in the first one. I was just watching that again going, you know, they call me Mr. Tibbs. He should have said that at some point in Force Awakens.
Well, I don't know if they figured out what his character
does. They had nothing
for
him to do. And not to mention that the whole point of Force Awakens is he wants to bang Rey. And now they've given him another love interest. Now, you could say that was true of Star Wars and Empire, where it was supposed to be Luke and Leia in the first one, and then they switched it to Han and Leia.
Right.
But it seems like he's getting, and you know, boy, I'm going to sound like a jerk, but it's a downgrade. Right, Corey?
No.
Corey?
What?
Is that a downgrade? We'll let you talk, Ellen. But
no, Ellen.
To go from Ray to Rose.
I was going
to
hold back how much I want to have sex with Mark Hamill still.
Okay, yeah.
I thought I would alienate the audience. But we're not going to shit on Rose. You know, they gave her a lot. And
She was good. We're going to get to her.
I didn't see it as a love interest.
But we're talking about John Boyega. What did John Boyega do? Was John Boyega good or not?
I just want to have sex with Mark Hamill.
Okay, all right.
Well,
if he's
make
listening.
That. You know what? I think you have a real shot at that. To be honest with
you, I'll tweet him. I'll tweet him, and we'll see.
That is not an impossible thing. Use the force, Ellen.
Right.
It could happen.
Show
up to Comic Con, the low cut top, and you're in. I think that's it.
Could happen.
Bring a blue pill for him, maybe. But
can I ask two questions? Sorry.
No.
Was John Boyega good?
Well, he didn't have anything.
He didn't
to
have
do.
Anything to do.
Right.
Yeah, that's
the
problem.
All he does is kind of run around.
Yeah.
And go, we got to get to this thing. He's very action-y oriented.
And,
like
and
his character.
Okay, Dom Hall Gleason as Hux was kind of stupid in this.
There was a lot of.
And
comedy.
He's a great actor too.
Yeah,
but kind of dumb.
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, this may be a dumb, non-woke question.
Yeah.
In 2017, can Disney have an interracial superpower couple like that?
Well, first of all. This you've never seen more. I think there was an edict when they were editing this. Like, if you're on a white guy, immediately cut to somebody that's not white, and then you're free to cut back to a white guy. It's
okay.
Like they cut from a white guy to a Chinese lady to a lesbian to an alien to a black guy. It's the United Nations. It's ridiculous.
There's a different. Okay, the rebellion was always like a variety of different people.
Yeah, I get that.
Whereas the Empire was all British character actors. But this is really like there's a tone. This is very NPR-ish rebellion.
It's
and at one point I said to Josh, like the scene where Poe takes charge and throws out the character, the Laura Dern character.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the Bernie wing of the party throwing Hillary out. Because it really felt like it was this total like.
Have we covered? And for Andy Serkis as Snoke, I thought was very good.
Okay.
But boy, Snoke was the
what
biggest
What the fuck
bust.
Is that character?
That's the dumbest, stupid fucking character.
Is that their, Darth Maul? Like how we didn't really.
Yeah.
Well, what is that character, though?
The thing is, Snoke was supposed to have this mythology, and we would find out that he was somebody in the past or something. Like, I mean, that was, I mean, granted, people were reading between the lines. It was never officially, but, like, Snoke was going to be, like, either Grand Moff Tarkin had survived the Death Star attack, and that's
kinda
who it
like
was.
Kind
of did look like him with the high cheekbones and stuff. Mm. Or it was going to be some Jedi that Anakin failed to kill in, like, episode 3.
But you know what?
And then, that's why he's all fucked up and scarred.
But we don't have any, there's nothing.
Yeah, they gave us nothing, and they just killed him. And granted, it was shot, but it's kind of like, it was the Game of Thrones thing where you kill the main character just to get a shock. And then you're like, okay, but now you know, what are we left with?
I had a passionate discussion with my cousin's 11-year-old at Thanksgiving about how there's only one good Star Wars movie.
Okay.
And it's Star Wars.
Star Wars
because
is the best Star Wars movie.
Every movie after that has slowly undermined all of the mythology that's in the first one. Because the mythology in the first one only was enough to tell you the story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And all the shit they had to make up to fill in afterwards.
Yeah.
They ruined. My theory is, of course, that they ruined them by the second movie.
Yeah,
the whole thing was broken.
Yeah. Lucas didn't have the story until the second one, anyway. But
because Luke and Leia being brother and sister,
they figured that out five minutes before they shot that.
Yeah. because they were kissing in the first two movies, and there was like a love triangle, and then they were suddenly like.
But
Yoda's like, there's another. There's another who they didn't fucking bother to train with the Force at any point.
My theory is Snoke was not well received in Force Awakens.
Now Ellen's making a sad face.
I'm just here, guys.
Okay. Maz Kanata, who was very poorly received, and we hated Maz Kanata in Force Awakens, they basically gave a cameo to. Because, and let's face it, that was a dumb looking character. It didn't really fit into the universe. It looked like one of the California raisins. Was
the glasses?
It was terrible. The whole thing didn't work, and Mr. Potato Head or something. It was really dumb.
You know,
and so they kind of. So I felt like Snoke might have been the reason they got rid of Snoke too. I know when they revealed, like, I think it was it the action figure where it's like, why is Snoke in a bathrobe? I immediately wrote that down in my notes when he came on. I'm like, he looks like he's in a friggin' bathrobe.
Was that Hugh Hefner?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Maz Kanata. Let's get back to
Maz Kanata, who really didn't do anything in this.
The late, great Paul Newman said of the movie The Player, Robert Altman's a son of a bitch because he shows you the tits of the girl you don't want to fuck.
Okay.
And that was what he said about that movie. And then, like, the hot girl keeps her shirt on.
Okay.
They cast a stunning model,
yes.
Lupita Nyong'o, with skin that glistens like the midnight sun. This beautiful, stunning, tall, beautiful girl woman, right? Who, by the way, I'll just give her some fucking contact lenses and she already looks like she could be, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
give her some, like, yellow eyes or some shit and she could be an alien.
Right.
But they cast this gorgeous woman as the voice of a fucking frog that runs around. And you're like, why do that?
The appearance of this movie was just that little hologram. Right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think it looks so silly that they wanted to hide the character behind that hologram.
Lupita Nyong'o is so stunning looking. She's a special effect already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you're like, hey, Cindy Crawford, can you get in this Muppet suit?
Okay.
It's just like, why would you fucking do
that? All right, now let's do the new additions. These were the new additions to this movie and how they did. Okay.
Bobby, Billy, Ralph, Mike, and...
Let's start with
Candy Girl.
Let me start with.
Oh, wait a minute! I just thought of a thing I wanted to say for Finn.
Okay,
Finn. Too late.
No, go ahead.
Well, in The Force Awakens, there was that struggle of, like, I loved his character so much because, like, he was on, like, the stormtrooper side, but then he realized that he could do better with himself. I wanted to see more of that.
He was a great. That was great.
He got his revenge on Captain Phasma. I guess we can talk about Captain Phasma, who Corey and I...
We just saw a little bit of the eye.
Yeah, Gwendolyn Christie's eye.
And you thought of the Boba Fett thing, too, I heard.
Yeah, Corey thought about that.
It's the Boba Fett of the new trilogy.
All Boba Fett was a cool suit.
Yes,
that's all Boba Fett ever was a cool suit.
And that's all Captain Phasma is.
I don't think that suit's that cool, to be honest with you, but whatever.
Well, it did. It was.
You could make out that Phasma had a rack under the suit.
Yeah,
and then you know what? God bless that.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny because the real actress doesn't.
What do you mean, Gwendolyn Christie? I've seen Gwendolyn Christie topless, right?
Yeah, they're not. That's not not something to write.
I
love her.
Yeah, I'll write to my house. You write to your house. All right, don't worry about what I'm writing home about.
Hold on, I love her on. I love her on Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
she's a good character. She's a good actress in that character. Brienne of Tarth is good. Phasma just stands around. She does have the one stormtrooper armor that can deflect a phaser shot. Because the entire clone army and the stormtrooper army through the Empire, they wear battle armor from head to toe.
Yeah.
And one phaser blast and they're dead.
Yeah.
And, she one glances right off her.
It is the cheapest.
Her copper, her chrome armor.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, she's got a blaster resistant armor.
Yeah.
She's cool. And then they throw her down.
Like the stormtrooper stuff is made in a factory, as we saw in the prequels.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then Phasma was made by an artisan who slaved hours,
I guess,
somewhere with a,
matching gun.
Yeah, and the gun is cool. But all right. So anyway, let's start with the new characters, new actors in this movie. Okay, Benicio del Toro, I would say Benicio del Toro is a good actor, but Benicio del Toro can be a complete parody of himself. Yeah. This character was a parody of him parodying himself. It was the worst awful thing in this whole movie was him. And Laura Dern,
oh, I don't know.
Laura Dern should be sending him flowers for, cuz he was so bad. I'm not even going to rip on her yet. That's how bad he was. He felt like he was out of like some 1990s Jim Jarmusch indie fucking rogue downtown New York fucking Bowery bum hustler guy. And maybe that's what they were going for. It's fucking Star Wars. You could be as creative as you want with these characters. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, Benicio, you know when you do that stupid thing? Yeah, just do that.
Yeah, just
be weird.
It's like Dashiell Hamlin, like just be a gangster.
It was really lame. It was lame. The story they gave him was just lame.
Planet Great Gatsby was just a waste of time.
That whole thing was lame. But he was bad. I mean, they could have had anyone do that. I mean, you want to do some. I mean, look, he's Hispanic, so is that why he's there? It's trying to be diverse.
Benicio del Toro is a fine actor.
He is. But
they also hid him and Laura Dern from the promotional material.
I knew they were both in it. No, they didn't. I didn't like. I wasn't shocked when they showed up. I mean,
they're not in the trailers,
when they introduced them. They might have been in the trailers. I don't know. I knew they were in the movie. It was not a secret
to me. I don't think I remember Laura Dern.
Nah, I knew they were in it.
Laura Dern was a surprise.
With her purple hair, okay. She looked like she was out of Hunger Games. Like she looked.
Yeah,
like she
it did look
franchise.
A little bit like that.
And then her character's this fucking Mary Sue.
It looked a little Disney-fied.
Yeah.
It's a complete Mary Sue character.
Yeah.
A magical. She's just like, oh my God, she's so wonderful and brave and powerful.
And they also have that dialogue, and we were talking about Force Awakens before, where they cover for the audience's questions. Because Poe Dameron says, oh, that's the general I've been hearing about all these years? Yeah. And it's like, we've never heard jack shit about any fucking general.
I know.
And then they bring her out.
These movies are 40 years old.
And it's kind of like, oh, we're going to get a pop out of Jurassic Park fans. That's all. That's the only
all
point
right.
she's in there.
Okay, and if you want to get...
It's the only reason right, she's in there. She's a good actress.
If you want to get cheap pop or something.
Yeah.
If you want to get, like, you know, audience reaction,
yeah.
which is what half this movie is, too, is also just, like, nostalgia butter.
Yeah.
At some point, you know, because there's always the, we're all about to die, and then somebody flies in and saves the day. General Antilles...
Yeah,
leads a X-wing wing in and saves their ass.
Sure, yeah.
The whole fucking theater would jump up, rip seats out. Fucking if Wedge flew in,
Wedge lived through all of
yeah.
The
Wedge is the
trilogy.
Wedge survived all three of the original movies.
Okay,
have General Wedge fly in with an X-wing unit.
Okay.
I'm spoiling the third movie, but would every nerd in there just spontaneously have
clit
boner and just start?
They could have gotten. I guess you have to if you're going to introduce this character. Who really only serves a plot point, really, is like they need to make a character sacrifice themselves for the greater good of the
mission.
Why
not have Admiral Ackbar sacrifice?
Well, Ackbar dies in this movie.
Pointlessly.
Which you don't even really see him die on camera. The ship blows up, and it's like Admiral Ackbar is dead.
It's a waste.
You're like,
well, okay, have Admiral Ackbar crash.
And be the hero or something.
Right?
Yeah.
And the fans would love that.
But I mean, you want to bring in an actor that's going to, the audience is going to see them and go, okay, here's somebody important. And then when they sacrifice themselves, you're supposed to care. But she just didn't look like she was part of Star Wars. It just didn't work.
That stupid.
It was bad.
That stupid fish is a beloved character in
he
Star
is,
Wars.
Yes.
And if they had had him turn the cruiser around in light speed into the fleet, that would have again made everybody pop and flip their fucking nuts and go cuckoo.
But
instead, Laura Purple Haired Dern. with her fucking Forever 21 hair coloring.
They just introduced.
Right. We're like, hey, this character you've seen for 5 minutes who comes in and lectures while Leia's in a coma. That, like, fuck you. That was a waste of time.
The Nyum Nyum guy still lives. The Chinese-looking alien guy.
Where is he?
No, he was in this.
Oh, was he?
Is it that just the race?
Well,
I think it's the same character.
That's the other problem is that, like,
right.
What if all the Mon Calamari look like
but
that?
But there were
how
other
can we tell?
In Force Awakens. There's other Mon Calamaris, right? Or no, they're in Rogue One.
Yeah, yeah.
There's other Mon Calamaris in Rogue
One.
One.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, as you said to me, Admiral Akbar's never got anything good to say.
Right. Whenever he says something, it's always bad news.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We're under attack. It's like who invites him to the party? What a fucking, you know, what are we going to ruin your day?
The chocolate fountain is broken at Golden Corral.
He's like the
Angela.
He's
just always bad news.
He's the Angela.
Damn it, he broke him in half. Stop the damn match. He's the JR. All right. And another thing, if you want, okay, well, I want to get more. BB-8, they did very little with until the end. They gave BB-8 kind of a big.
Well, BB-8 had the bit in the beginning when he was wiring up the X-Wing.
And by the way, when Poe Dameron hugs BB, they did too much of that. I'm fine with, hey, buddy, good to see you. But like when Luke blew up the Death Star, R2 came down. Like, oh, R2, right, pats him on his head.
And as much as I
he
do...
gives this fucking, he puts his penis inside BB-8 at the end of this movie. He fucking fully puts a
Ellen,
rubber on and thrusts it in.
We know you're into Mark Hamill. How do you feel about BB-8?
I noticed there was an evil BB-8 too.
There is. There's an evil. BB-8. Well, he's the black BB-8 is bad. Mm-hmm.
There's an evil.
The white BB-8
is
good.
He's wearing a black hat.
Oh yeah, I forgot there was an evil. You're right. There was an evil BB-8. Well, there's like other like R2s that run around that are like you know. Mm-hmm. No, you're just.
There's
we had to stop the show for gummy bears.
There's a red R2-D2 and shit. And
yeah.
Those other ones.
No, you're right. There was an evil BB-8.
All right, now let's talk about Rose. There's another new character. That was Kelly Marie Tran. She's been in some stuff, right, Corey?
What has she been in?
I don't know. I'm looking at her. She was funny. She was good. She did a good job. Now,
I liked her sister. I liked the character the sister that dies. Well, she
no,
dies
I guess
the
I've heard.
As my friend Scott said, the prettier sister died.
No, well, that's not going. Oh.
Yeah, she's in like a lot of like Comedy Central stuff.
I was hoping
that
we'd see a lot of the sister because that kind of like a very badass scene, and unfortunately ended in a very. I mean, I understand it was a part of the plot, but I thought that she was going to be like the next. Like Rey.
Well, that was a cool scene, really, and it was very much like Rogue One.
Yeah.
And like other war movies where it's kind of like
people sacrifice.
Somebody sacrifices themselves.
They overdid that in this movie, too. There's like three or
half
four
dozen
scenes
sacrifices.
Of, you know, Luke sacrifices himself, but really doesn't. You know, Leia sacrifices herself. Laura Dern sacrificed herself. They overdid that in this, I think. Yeah. And the other thing they overdid was they did the, you know, to be in the wrestling terminology, the face turn. Which, you know, so they did the face turn. You know what the face turn is in wrestling, Ellen? It's when you're a bad guy and then you become a good guy. Everyone goes crazy. Okay. So Finn in the first, in Force Awakens. And then in this you had, I'm losing my train of thought here. Adam Driver, what's his name?
Kylo
Ren turns good and then turns back. Who else turned in this? Benicio Del Toro turned bad, I guess.
We spent half the movie thinking Luke was going to turn.
Yeah, yeah.
And they kind of had
Rey turns bad and then good.
They kind of have a debate about who's turning and what's, you know.
Too much.
But they completely ditched the whole struggle of good and bad with Finn's character from the first movie that I loved so much. And now
Finn is all good.
Now, well, I mean, yeah, he's a... a likable character, but like I wanted to see more of that because that's like the relatable stuff, you know. And
the struggle.
I don't know, but then Laura Dern's character, because we all thought that
there
her
you go. She was
at
a bad,
one
yeah,
point.
Good
she
to bad
a,
to good.
She took a heel turn,
yeah,
and then it was
yeah.
a fake. It was
and then
a fake,
a fa- yeah, that's what I mean.
It
yeah.
was a fake out heel turn.
So
that was
she
weird.
Too much
that
of
was,
that.
Was
she is she Dame Laura Dern now?
Is that is she Dame Laura Dern?
Yeah, like you know, is you she know really
okay.
acting
okay.
royalty
it was,
enough to?
Well, they were like, we'll get a recognizable face in here, but honestly, that whole I hated that character. Listen. I thought it was a waste of time.
Okay.
And if
it is
again, if Admiral fucking Akbar had been like, we're abandoning the ship, and Poe was like, no, you fish face motherfucker,
right.
we're gonna save the day, and then Akbar turns around and. Crashes, that would have been a character that's established. Even though it's a puppet, it's a character that we've seen before.
Listen, my feeling on Laura Dern is, look, here's the thing. Look, if we need Cate Blanchett, you go get Cate Blanchett. That's what you fucking wanted. That's who you fucking wanted.
Laura Dern is,
you're getting
is
fucking,
discount.
She's
right,
dime
right,
store
sure.
fucking. And by the way, I turned to Corey when Carrie Fisher and her were talking. I think the biggest laugh for me, and there's like kind of too much comedy in this too, I thought on some level.
Well, the beginning of the movie's like a goof.
It's slapstick. Yeah,
it's all kind of a shticky.
Baseballs.
A lot of the jokes didn't land.
But I turned to Corey when they were talking about like the ship and who was hanging over, and I said, they should be having fried green tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe.
It was such a Mary Sue. Like,
it was
like okay,
Jessica
right.
Tandy
so,
talking to
so
Jessica
like,
Lange or
okay,
something.
Leia is already the leader of the rebellion, and everyone is like lost without her leadership. Then they were like, but women are so cool. Let's add another character who's a cool woman that kicks all this ass. And I went, but we've got Leia already. Like, you're kind of reinforcing like this whole thing that was just very politically charged in a like stupid way, in an agenda driven way that didn't move the plot forward. Because everybody respects Leia and loves her, and she's the leader of the rebellion. So let's have another woman who is also the leader of the rebellion. Like it was
well,
just for a strictly
it's
like
just, well, it's just women. Okay, Rose. Do we like Rose? I mean, do we want to see
Rose?
More of
was fine.
They gave her some real ham-fisted dialogue.
She had the worst line.
Down. Did you remember it?
The worst line
do you
reading.
Remember the line that she said that we all groaned at. I know we all did.
It was on Planet Gatsby. She says to Finn something about, like, let's burn down this house of horrors. What was it? What was the line?
Oh.
I laughed out loud.
Put my truth in this beautiful town or something?
Oh, Jesus. It was
it was, like, really bad. I wrote it down, but
and
I
and her line reading was clunky as shit.
Lousy town.
Oh, yeah.
In this beautiful.
She had to work with a lot of bad dialogue.
Yeah, there was a lot of bad dialogue.
I
want to
put my fist through this beautiful
the worst
town.
Yeah, the writing was
that's what it was. I'm going to put my fist through this beautiful, lousy town.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
But she really had me captivated from her very first scene.
Yeah, I mean, she was compelling. I mean, she's a good actress. You want to see more of her. But again, that feels like that's the Rose TV show kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it was a Star Wars for girls Netflix show.
Another.
And she's got a tood.
Another plot point. Since the First Order is essentially the alt-right and seems to comprise exactly zero members that are Vietnamese women, how come she dressed up in an outfit and they didn't notice? Do you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
It's a classic movie trope of the good guys.
I know,
up
but
like the
we don't
guys.
See anybody who isn't a white guy in the First Order at any point. And she's like, I'm a stroll by with my cute hair flipped up. And it was kind of.
Didn't Ray and. Bodega, he did the same thing.
Well, he was a stormtrooper already, though. That's so I guess true. We've That's established true. That there's black dudes in the First Order. I don't know.
Who else was new? And I guess that's probably all the new ones. I mean, Billie Lord going to probably be more. Uh-huh. You guys know who Billie Lord is? She's the little. She's actually Carrie Fisher's daughter in real life. Uh-huh. And she played the girl with, like, kind of the big Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
The little blonde girl. She was on American Horror Story this past season.
She was like Lieutenant not having dialogue.
She had one line in Force Awakens, and here she had probably 10. But she's in the first shot of the movie. Mm-hmm. I really liked her on American Horror Story. So
her dialogue was all like, close the blast doors.
Yeah, but
hand me that spanner.
She seemed to go, like, by the end of this, she seemed to have gone up the ranks.
Well,
I guess everyone's
people
dead.
Keep getting blown up.
But I feel like she's going to be more in it, and I think she's a good actress. So
well, she
also
helped lead the mutiny, too.
Yeah.
So I noticed that.
Well, she was loyal to Poe.
So when they were on the planet of Himalayan sea salt.
yeah.
Snowtroopers on a salt planet?
It was a planet of Himalayan sea salt where they were skidding around in those ice things that wasn't ice.
When have they figured out that the walkers suck? Like how? I mean, in canon, we're now 30 years of walkers and they fucking failed at everything they tried to do.
So they're like, okay, so
there's one blown up on Jakku in the fucking last movie.
Because the rebels hide out in that like blast shell, that whatever, that fortress.
Yeah.
And they've got a big steel garage door.
Yeah.
And they are like, here comes a fleet of walkers.
Yeah.
Then they're like, fuck that. Let's bring this cannon out. couldn't the walkers have blown the door open?
Well, I guess the walkers, people know the walkers suck so bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem with the walkers is now when you see the walkers in any movie, no one's afraid of the walkers.
Yeah.
When you saw the walkers on Hoth for the first time, you were like, holy fucking shit, look at those things, you know? Yeah. And then even, like, in Jedi, when they use more of, like, the AT-STs a little bit more, which there is an AT-ST on Hoth, but they got a lot more play in Jedi. I think there's one shot of the AT-ST on Hoth, but in Jedi there's more of them, and they're like, oh, those things are cool because look, they're a little more mobile. They can run through the trees better.
I mean,
and here it's like they get out. I mean, in Rogue One there's walkers. It's just the walkers.
Do you think
walkers.
They're constantly trying?
You know who needs a walker? Fucking Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher need walkers. That's a walker.
You apologize to Ellen's boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Believe me.
Do you think there's always like a
take all please suck all the money right through his cock, Ellen. I'm encouraging you to do that right now.
You know, I'll tell you what though. That okay, there were two scenes that completely kicked ass in this movie.
Okay.
There were two tremendous scenes.
Yeah.
The throne room sequence with Snoke
and the Imperial Guards actually fucking do something.
Yeah.
Finally, thank
After
God.
30 when we were kids, everybody was like, oh, the Imperial Guards are so fucking cool. And they stood there and did bupkis.
When Vader and Luke beat the shit out of the Emperor, were those guys?
Those guys were nowhere to be
nowhere
seen.
Around.
They were standing around.
They were
did
break,
nothing.
Yeah.
About 5 seconds after Snoke was killed, they did something.
Right. You know? Yeah, they really... Yeah. That would be like after JFK got shot.
Yeah,
the Secret Service just turned around and started shooting everybody. Fuck it, kill them all. They just started clearing out Dealey Plaza.
That was a cool scene.
We are rousing to the Emperor's protection.
That was
after
a good
he's been
scene.
Cut in fucking half. thanks for stepping up, guys.
I was thinking like in it from a hierarchy point of view. Aren't they now fighting the current Emperor? Like, because
In fact, now that you pointed out, that scene was stupid.
Well,
because the fucking guards.
Well, that's why there's too much hate, feel, face, heel shit going on in this movie.
Yeah,
they're good guys. They're bad guys. They're whatever they need to be for whatever that scene's going to be.
I mean, it was a kick-ass scene.
It was a good scene. It was fun. I mean, all the spaceship stuff was awesome in this.
I mean, the
spaceship stuff was great. Yeah. It looked amazing. I could watch that stuff all day. But the bad stuff to me really was bad in this, and
the other cool scene is the ending.
Doing the Ben Kenobi thing.
I thought that was pretty sweet.
I don't even remember the ending because it just kept cutting to more stuff. Then you got that little kid at the end. Well, how it ended?
I meant the showdown with Luke and the walkers.
Yeah,
and all
right.
Now, oh, yeah, but that was like still 20 minutes away from the actual end of the movie.
Okay, but then I loved that, and then I hated that we're like, Luke went into the Force.
Yeah.
I hate that shit. Like, I wanted to see Luke actually go Matrix on their ass.
Okay, but...
And be like, look, I am a Skywalker. I am the greatest Jedi
there
ever was. And just... I wanted Luke to go, boom, and knock those walkers out of the way.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Like, watch him just force
but
throw shit
look,
around.
Ultimately, they tied up the loose end of Obi-Wan, which has always been a loose end now for
that
40
Obi-Wan,
fucking years.
That Obi-Wan fucked the whole universe up.
He disappeared, and that nobody else, no other Jedi, we never ever saw another Jedi just kind of disappear like that. They all, even, you know, Qui-Gon died and all these other guys died.
Yeah, he retired.
Yeah, but Obi-Wan just kind of made himself disappear and then would come back when he wanted to talk to Luke and get over a plot point. So I guess by having Luke do that, they've now sort of shown that that's a thing that Jedis will actually do.
The Sith can't do it.
Okay.
In terms of like, and God, this makes me think.
Becoming one with the Force.
I got to go back to the fucking prequels. But in the prequels, Palpatine is like, the Sith have learned how to conquer death and that we can live forever. Mm. And the Jedi are like, well, we just become Force ghosts. Mm. So, like, anytime you cut if you, and now they fucked it up with that stupid cartoon, which I don't think counts. But if you kill a Sith, they're dead. The Sith do not have the ability to join the Force.
Okay.
The Jedi do.
Interesting.
And so, you know what I mean? It's just like the Sith throw lightning.
I don't,
and the Jedi don't.
I don't know.
It's like they have the dark and the light side have different powers.
I don't know that this is official, but I do not believe that really the canon of Star. I believe that this Disney regime doesn't really believe in the prequels as canon. I mean, I don't think they've said it officially.
No, Luke says.
I don't think
Luke
they've said it officially.
Luke makes explicit reference to the prequels.
Luke does?
Yeah, he says the Jedi at the height of their power allowed the Emperor to destroy them. Mm. he talks about the prequels. He's like the Jedi were.
But that was Jedi, sort of. But that stuff was in Jedi too, though.
No, but he is describing what we saw in the prequels.
Yeah, but I think they're
he's
not
like the Jedi were.
I
stupid.
Mean, the midichlorians and all that stuff is not coming back.
Well,
that was out.
Never mentioned again after Phantom Menace. And they were like,
I was
hey,
gonna
guys,
ask about
remember how we said that thing about midichlorians? What if we didn't? What if we were just fucking bullshitting?
Well, yeah, because today they said the exact opposite.
Well, it was like, God, everything was so wrong. My hate. See, this is, I sit here now as a lapsed, I'm like a lapsed Catholic. I don't consider myself a Star Wars fan. I know the shit. You know what I mean? Like it's like I could cite you book and verse.
Sure.
Like in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 7
yeah,
and 8.
You're...
Like I could do you that. I could Wikipedia this shit for you right now. It's all in my head, but I don't have any emotional connection to it anymore. Because of the goddamn prequels.
Well, listen, like I said, I don't have a whole lot of interest
Which
in the
Ellen
plot.
Ellen came into on Ellen, the prequels. Ellen, that was her entry point.
Ellen is who she is. She inhibits herself.
But no, but
she
that's what I'm saying. You are
history.
That was your for she your generation, right? For your generation,
she's not going to sell her youth down the river to
saying, but for your generation, those were the Star Wars movies.
Not necessarily. I mean, it was just that I was a kid and there were toys. But then when I was actually old enough to watch the prequels, I could see why people weren't really.
Right. Sure. But it just, like, Star Wars is all about nostalgia. And we're now the tail end of the original generation of nostalgia.
Yeah,
There's guys older than us. But, like, it was kind of interesting that they're like, let's get the baby boomers out of the way. And it was.
Yeah, well.
If you want to look at this movie in a sociological perspective.
Yeah.
About what films are really about instead of just space battles. It is kind of like the baby boomers going, you know what? We fucked up. We let Trump in. We had all this idealism. We overthrew Nixon and we fought the power and we had, you know, created civil rights. We broke the evil empire. Then we got lazy and we let the empire back in. And it's like the baby boomers doing a mea culpa and being like, you go take. And then the one guy who's got his shit together is Poe Dameron, who's an Xer. That's what I'm just going
to
say.
All right. Well, that's fine. Well, look, I think to me as a fan, I'm going, I don't even really, at this point, I don't care what comes next. I have no, like, I'm not thinking about what comes next because there were two big questions coming out of Force Awakens. One is, who the fuck is Snoke? Which they never told us
and no one cares.
No one cares. And the other one was, who were Ray's parents? Uh-huh. Which came out of the first one.
And, like,
and then they
nobody.
Did that in like a line of dialogue. Granted, it was surprising when he said that, you know, your parents were nobodies that sold you for drinking money. Isn't that what he said?
But you know what? You know what? Obi-Wan lied to Luke too.
Yeah.
Nothing says Kylo Ren is telling her the truth.
Well, there were these flashbacks of Ray. You saw a little child actress being pulled away from her parents in Force Awakens in the flashbacks.
Yeah, that's right.
And I guess that makes sense based upon what they said in this movie. But it also seemed like there was, I was thinking even during this that maybe Snoke was Rey's father.
Oh, I kept thinking
on some
that.
Level. Did you think that? Yeah, because that would have been sort of the whole Darth Vader twist, and they're repeating themselves.
Line.
Because we didn't know who Snoke was. We didn't know who she was or where she was from, and that would have made sense to sort of tie them together. Because if you're saying that, and I guess they're rewriting the Jedi thing, and Luke, they gave Luke a lot of dialogue here to go, like, you're not born with the ability to use the Force. So even though, you know, even though Kylo Ren is a Skywalker through descent,
it's not.
Anybody can use the Force, and Rey just has the ability to use the Force.
But then it comes the midichlorian.
Maz Kanata can use the Force.
Even before
she can move shit.
Even before the midichlorian issue.
Yeah.
They were like, there's people that are Force sensitive.
Okay.
Like, I think anybody can be trained to use the Force to some extent.
Yeah.
But, like, you could maybe train me forever and I would maybe make this Nutter Butter vibrate.
Oh, you're going to make that Nutter Butter do something.
You know what I mean, though? You know what I mean? Like,
that Nutter Butter's doing things.
They're like,
may the Force be with that Nutter Butter because it's going
to
need
I'm just
it.
Saying, like, maybe they're like, we can train you how to use the Force, but some people just don't have the skill.
Yeah.
Whereas the Skywalkers are like natural talents with it.
It's
like athletics.
But again, they
contradict themselves every fucking
but
step.
Now it's just anybody can use the Force. There's no lineage of Skywalkers left except for Kylo Ren. Now that we know that Rey's not a Skywalker.
Well, so this whole movie seems to be shitting on fan theory.
Oh, but yeah, wait a minute. So if there's no relationship between Rey and Luke, does that mean we're going to see a possible love interest between Ray.
Only
Kylo
you would
Ray.
Think that.
No, I definitely didn't think they were going to kiss.
I mean, they're definitely.
I thought you were
going to
say Luke.
He had the shirtless scene where he was shirtless.
Yeah.
Let's go put a towel on. He's like, then he just, there was
Well,
nothing.
He was.
That was some sexual tension.
He was
there.
Seducing
and
her.
And they held the hands over the fire.
It got a little Twilight. It got a little Twilight in
there. I did like that scene where
they
she's like,
were gonna
can you put on a robe or something? Can you, do you have a, what'd you say, like a
can you put
a
towel over?
A tunic.
Can
you put
on
a towel? Do you have a tunic to put on?
Yeah, it was,
There's gonna be a lot, I could bet you guys $100 each.
Yeah.
In 2 years, I hope I have $300. Let's just
wait, do something else with your money. Don't give it to us.
There's going to be a love interest. There's going to
be. Very well, maybe.
Now,
I mean, they teased it here.
He's going to become good in the last movie.
When will we have our first Star Wars gay kiss?
That's coming.
Because I kind of thought Finn was gay in the first one.
Yeah.
Or that they were going to indicate that Finn was gay at some
point. Well, weren't some of those pilots clearly like butchy lesbian women in this?
Well, when are they going to have a gay romance in Star Wars?
Well,
R2 and 3PO, baby.
Oh, that's true.
Goes, well, it's OG.
That is an OG.
Some OG.
No, I don't.
That's some silver and gold getting together.
Now, R2's got to have a port, right? He's got to have a.
He's the bottom.
Well, I don't know. R2's got stuff that sticks out.
Thing,
so maybe.
Yeah,
maybe,
that little.
Oh, it comes out. Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
So 3PO must have the receiver port.
3PO.
Well, C-3PO's got the circle in his chest.
Well, there's those little breaks in the gold.
Oh, okay.
So you could
now
put
something
in there.
Now we've gone past the point of any kind of. Oh, this is gross.
Wait a minute. They had that scene where
BB-8 is very smooth.
Introduced himself to Rey. I'm going back to a serious love interest here. But
Poe could be gay because they haven't had Poe have an interest
Poe's
in girls.
Poe's got no interest in getting laid.
Poe's just like, I got to fucking win this war.
They had that hokey part at the end where he's like, oh, I know who you are. Or like
Poe loves BB-8.
No, the part with
Poe and Rey.
Yeah,
Did they not even meet?
They're both on Jakku at the same time, but they never
met.
No, because it's like Finn goes from Poe to Rey, and then at the end, you know, she's off. What is she doing at the end of Force Awakens?
She's hanging out with Han in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, she's with Han in the Millennium Falcon.
And I guess she never did meet Poe.
No. Because Poe's in the air with the X-Wing squadron, and she's
right.
infiltrating the base or whatever she's doing. Well, she gets captured. That's what it is.
Now,
yeah, she gets captured.
Okay, can we talk about fashion for a second here?
Yes.
Okay. Hi. Okay, now, the number one look.
Oh, my God.
The number one look
Adam
for...
Adam Driver has fucking giant pecs.
Are they the Resistance now? Wait, is that what they are?
Yeah.
To further include some Reddit politics threads, they're the Resistance, hashtag Resistance. Okay, the number one fashion styling of the Resistance is cool leather jackets. Like, that's how you demonstrate your authority in the Resistance is having a cool leather jacket. Though Finn is wearing Poe's jacket like he spent the night over there.
He's doing the walk of shame.
Yeah.
Well,
Poe was like, it looks better on you.
He says
then
it.
Poe gets his own cooler leather jacket just to be like, well, fuck you. Yeah. I'm going to wear this up-to-date slicker one. And then the rest of the rebellion is running around wearing basically brown versions of the Empire's Nazi outfits.
Well,
if you notice, they're wearing the same fucking neighbor jackets. They're just brown.
Yeah, I don't. They don't really have. I mean, if you look at like Laura Dern and what Carrie Fisher are wearing,
Laura
this,
Dern
like,
looked like she was from another movie.
Yeah, it was very odd. That stuff didn't.
That wraparound dress and
the
purple hair.
There wasn't the consistency of like. Well, they're all kind of wearing like in the rebellion, like in Star Wars, it's like kind of like members only jackets.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, those collars that are kind of squared off and lots of snaps and stuff
vests.
On things. Yeah,
very
vests
are very popular in the rebellion, and these guys are wearing like they're wearing this. Brown. They look like the Empire's outfits with the little pocket holder full of like wrenches or whatever the shit is in there.
There were scenes in other movies, I think, where they set the precedent of the commander being a pretty lady in a nightgown dress, like right? Like
yeah,
there
is
like
General what is her name?
Mon
Mothma.
Mon Mothma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
kind
of
see
what,
we're pulling
yeah,
all this
we're
out.
Doing it. We can do it.
Also, so is Mos Eisley the most wretched pit of scum and villainy on the Earth? Or
apparently
is,
not.
Or is Planet Gatsby? What is the name of that fucking planet with the casino they went to?
Planet never to be seen again in Star Wars.
Oh, also,
it felt very prequel.
I'd like to thank Justin Theroux for appearing in 30 seconds of this movie.
What did he do in this?
He was the codebreaker that they were supposed to get.
Oh, the guy gambling. Yeah, I was wondering who that actor was.
He had the red petal on his shirt. And that was Justin Theroux.
I thought it was like Chris Pine for a second, and he had like a cheesy mustache. I couldn't really tell.
It was Justin Theroux. It was a bad cameo, and it was just like that went nowhere.
Yeah. There usually are, you know. Force Awakens had tons of, you know. Daniel Craig was the stormtrooper who had the mind trick done on him and
that, by the way, blows the number one fan theory is that Rey is a Kenobi.
Yeah, well, the timeline does not work for her being a Kenobi at all.
Well,
she would have to be like a third generation Kenobi.
Hold on.
It doesn't
work.
Ben was
on Tatooine for a long time.
Okay,
he could have fucked a barmaid.
Yeah, but that...
And she could be his granddaughter.
No. She would have to be a granddaughter.
That's right.
She could not be his daughter.
Okay, what if she's Kenobi's granddaughter? That would be interesting.
Well, they've already explained it. Unless they're going to rewrite it again and say, oh, man, Kylo is just making shit up.
Well, okay. This is one part of what broke the fandom.
Obi-Wan was a monk.
Yes. Okay, but that's part of one of the things I hate the most about the prequels.
Yeah.
Is they turn the Jedis from knights into monks.
Yeah.
In the original movie, in the original trilogy, they're referred to as knights and generals, they're samurai.
Swashbucklers.
They're samurai with mystic powers.
Then Arthurian knights.
Then they turn them into monks. Yeah. And I'm sorry. If there's one thing I don't want to hear about is guys who don't fuck. I really, it's the least appealing thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that. I don't, you know what I mean?
All the nobility and not chasing girls around.
That's unrealistic.
You weren't trading monk cards as a kid like
no.
I was?
No. I hate monks.
Oh, okay.
I hate all monks. I hate all religion. Because what are because you tell someone you can't have sex, you have to devote yourself to their religion.
Yeah.
And what do? They have sex with people they shouldn't be having sex
that's,
with.
That's
so the Jedi are basically child molesters.
All right.
They all get Padawans.
They also...
Making them monks was a stupid fucking idea. And it was like one of 400 stupid fucking ideas.
Are you saying those dynamic, high drama Jedi Council scenes in the prequels didn't do it for you?
Where the...
A big, round, white room. There you go. Way to go. Way to go, Lucas.
Some set you made there, bro. It looked like a Ramada Inn conference room. The fucking Jedi Temple headquarters.
Yeah, it was like a round room with nothing in it.
It's...
Some windows.
It's where you have the office Christmas party for fucking Magna Corp. It's like stupid.
It's like when does the truck show up with the furniture?
If you guys want to leave, I'm just going to do 4 hours on how much I hate the fucking prequels.
All right, well, okay.
But when I was in the eighth grade, I sat through those movies just to see those shirtless Hayden Christensen.
Hayden, she wrote
an eighth grade.
So did the shirtless Adam Driver do it for you? Did you enjoy that?
No,
I thought that was going to be the love interest plot twist.
Well,
there's
very little romance in this. There's a little,
but the hand holding over the fire.
Yeah, I know.
There were a lot of red herrings in this movie, too.
There's a little tiny dab of romance and a little tiny...
It's going to happen.
A lot of comedy.
You're not going to get that $300.
Yeah, but it wasn't all that funny.
Some of the comedy did. Some of the jokes didn't work. I mean...
Well, the beginning, the whole first scene is like a joke fucking scene.
Yeah.
Where the First Order is like, you know, playing...
And that was Brendan Gleeson. And he got blown up, I think.
That was not Brendan Gleeson.
That wasn't Brendan Gleeson in the beginning?
The guy what got blowed up?
The First Order commander.
Yeah.
Who's ordering the attack.
This is like Poe, by the way, who is also makes Wedge.
I was standing in the aisleway waiting for Ellen, so maybe I didn't have the best view of it.
Sorry.
Well, first of all, Wedge is a pussy compared to Poe Dameron, who is the greatest pilot.
Poe Dameron's here.
They were always like, in the prequels, they were also like, Anakin is the greatest pilot anyone's ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Poe would fucking smoke him in a dogfight. Poe would blow, because Poe goes... I'm going to attack this dreadnought head on, blow up every gun turret on the fucking thing, and not get a scratch on me. And it was like, okay.
Probably my favorite line was permission to jump in a ship and blow shit up.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Blow stuff up.
What they should really do is be like, some people use the Force in different ways. There are like Force pilots who like, no, seriously, like. They use their Force skills to be the best pilot.
That's how Luke shot the...
Right.
Yeah.
So that would explain like why Poe is the best fucking pilot in the world.
Yeah. All right. So a couple other things I wrote down here. The red salt planet was neat in the final scene.
I liked
with
it.
All of the red, you know, the undersurface was red, and so when you shot
the Himalayan
red,
pink sea salt planet.
Yeah, absolutely. That was neat. I thought it was good.
You put that in a crusher grinder, and you get that at Trader Joe's?
Well, there's the scene that ultimately, I guess it's when the attack scene.
Did we like the crystal foxes?
No,
it's just another actually. Toy.
It's another, toy. Yeah, it's another toy.
It's going to make a cute Christmas ornament. You get the little. By the way, isn't that an indie rock band, the Crystal Foxes?
It should be a twee bearded man playing acoustic guitars.
The Swift Foxes.
Yeah.
We're icicle foxes. Ooh.
Well, there's the scene where
they looked cool actually.
Where Finn and Rose are going to be executed, and what is it? That's when Laura Dern drives the ship suicide mission into that. Yeah, yeah. And I told Corey, I go, and then, you know, the explosion happens and you see the aftermath and it's like 1,000 dead stormtroopers everywhere. The guys wearing armor are completely dead. And then the two heroes who had no protection and had their hands bound get up and dust themselves off and walk away. And
they also blew up a whole hangar full of X-Wings.
Yeah.
And Poe got knocked over and went, well... All right. You know, it's like a fireball comes flying at him. And he goes, oops.
What else do we got here? Anything else? Have we covered it? I mean, it's... again, I thought too much comedy. Luke getting the blue milk out of the animal.
That was the dumbest... That
was a bad sight gag, I thought.
That was going to be the dumbest thing in Star Wars. Well,
there's a lot of dumb stuff.
Well, okay, what's dumber? That or the thing that farts on Jar Jar?
Yeah, that was bad, too. Oh. Okay, so Chewie's going to eat a porg, apparently.
I liked that.
And then the porgs freaked out. But porgs are kind of like penguins meet hamsters or something. That would be accurate, right? Because they have kind of duck feet.
Yeah.
But they're kind of birds.
They're like penguin guinea pigs. Yeah,
yeah, kind of.
You know what? By the way, Chewie would have fucking eaten that thing.
Yeah, Chewie don't ask for permission.
Chewie don't give a
shit, man.
Chewie rips the arms off motherfuckers for looking at him funny. This is bullshit. They've done nothing but turn Chewie into a big fucking teddy bear since the beginning.
Also,
when he was an ass kicker.
There's some of this in Force Awakens too, but when those characters see each other for the first time in years, the reactions need to be better. Because when Chewie and Luke see each other, I know it's a big surprise. Like Chewie comes bursting through the door, Luke's like Chewie.
Well, Chewie stands around.
Like, yeah.
By the way, Chewie does fucking nothing in this movie.
He doesn't do much in this.
He stands.
Well, he pilots the Falcon. That's his job.
Yeah,
now.
I know.
It fell to him.
He's old though. He's old.
He is. Well, we don't know how old Wookiees can be.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But you're right. Luke's like, hey, get the fuck out of here, you piece of shit.
Yeah, Luke's like, Chewie, what are you doing in here?
Like, it wasn't like, oh my God, my dear sweet friend, my big stinky skunk ape friend who's been through so many battles together.
Yeah.
I love you, my
get off my
dear
lawn,
comrade.
You stinky Wookiee.
He would be reacting like I would to half of these headliners I see on the road.
We're
like, oh, this fucking guy.
It doesn't quite work. Yeah, I mean, but even in that one, isn't it where. So Han dies. This is in Force Awakens. Han dies. Chewie gets off the Falcon and like goes to the side. And then Rey, who knew Han for like a day or two, Leia's like, oh, my God, let me console you. Yeah. And it's kind of like Chewie, who's a guy who was adopted essentially by Han.
Right.
She could give a fuck about. Like, that didn't make sense.
Han, her husband's best friend for 40 years.
Exactly. Yes. Fuck him, because you're in. Well, it's sort of like, why didn't they give Chewie the medal?
Now
in Star Wars.
Now, do Jedis have the gift of tongues that allow them to understand both droid and Wookiee speak?
But everyone understands him. The medic in Force Awakens, when he gets shot, the medic is talking to him. The lady.
Okay, but originally wasn't C-3PO the translator for R2?
They got enough. They got to kill 3PO, man. That guy does nothing.
Oh,
he's got. They got nothing for him to do. I mean, I know he's. It's like he's a punching bag for jokes. Yeah. Right. Usually, 3PO would be the butt of jokes, and then he'd save everyone's ass at some point.
3PO will.
And 3PO saves shit in the last two movies.
3PO is good for like one little trick where he fools somebody.
Yeah, and he's done none of that.
None of that.
None of that.
No, for like three movies.
Stood around.
He stood around in the prequels too.
Yeah, he stood around. He got rid of his red arm. Thank God for that.
That was dumb.
The red arm is gone. And he's back to a regular.
It was a different
arm.
Looking suit, though.
Well,
he's supposed to have a silver leg, right?
Didn't they? Did they just rebuild him altogether?
After at the end of Star Wars? I think when you see him in the medal ceremony, he's been refurbished at that point.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple things about that. Okay, Yeah, he looked fat in Force Awakens, so I don't know if they still have Anthony Daniels doing it, or if they got a different guy, or the suits, and he's just chubby.
He's getting fatter.
All right, couple, and again, please, I know I'm going to sound like a dick.
Hold on, 3PO had a badonkadonk, right?
I'm going to talk sound
a bit
like
of an
a
ass,
dick.
Right?
Okay.
Right.
How could you tell?
John Boyega gained a lot of weight. I know the people gets older. He looked chunky. And even Daisy Ridley, I know she's older too. She looked like larger.
I think both of those people just have broad faces.
I watched Force Awakens today. Oh, okay. So if you didn't, it may not have been noticeable. Mm. And not that she's fat or anything, but I just kind of went like
white, she,
so maybe they used the lens is distorting her.
I think
there's a lot of close ups.
She, him, and Rose all have like really wide faces.
Yeah,
like they do.
But you know, but to me, I mean, I know like because you even see like Lando gets super fat between Empire and Jedi.
Maybe Billy is too fat.
Billy was super fat by the time he gets to Jedi.
Billy be out? Where
but,
is Billy?
You know, you gotta. I mean, I don't know. To me, it was a little bit like, oh yeah, they're. I mean, because it is supposed to take place exactly at the end of the other movie, and I guess having watched them back to back, I was kind of like, oh yeah, I don't know.
They look different.
And Daisy Ridley's wearing just a ton of makeup in this. I mean, I know they're doing those close-ups, but she looks like she just fucking got out of the makeup chair. She just went to Sephora and they did her fucking lashes.
I mean,
and meanwhile she's living on a rock.
She's still
with a bunch of slave. What were those slave fucking nun aliens on Luke's fucking island? What were those?
That was stupid.
Anybody know?
That was the. That
they
was
were the
dumb.
Caretakers.
They were
the caretakers. Bullshit.
That was.
They land the whole Falcon and the caretakers are nowhere to be seen. She can walk up all those stairs.
It's like,
where's the fucking caretakers? And if you got caretakers, build a fucking handrail. That things look dangerous as fuck to walk up all those stairs.
There's no handrails on the.
Is there no OSHA regulations in there? Come on.
There's no handrails on
the. I got
the
city
either.
Shutting me down. I don't have a fucking rail. I got to go out there and build one in the fucking snow a couple years ago. I have a fucking rail.
Go. Gay, yeah, 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 cha.
I don't know. But that was those characters didn't need to be there. There's a lot of sight gags, a lot of just,
well,
you know.
Much like this movie, this podcast has been long and pointless.
No.
We've done.
It's only half as long as the movie, so we're still doing
that's enough.
Good.
I've had about enough.
I don't know. I mean, look, we you know, if you like Star Wars, go see it. My feeling is that I'm not left with this with really a whole lot of desire to see another Star Wars. I'm not itching to see the next part of the story. Go ahead.
Ellen, I have
Ellen's so funny.
Like,
Ellen makes so many faces while she's like thinking.
I thought we were doing like final thoughts wrap up thing.
Go ahead.
There was way too much violence for this to be a kid movie.
Oh, okay.
It was
more violent. Yeah, a lot of death. Way more main character death.
It wasn't
I saw little kids going into the next show. I'm like, that's not a smart idea. Because I remember being afraid of Darth Maul.
It was too boring for kids.
Too talky. Yeah.
Know what? The original Star Wars films, and I'm, you know, they were not as violent as this one.
They've always chopped people's hands off.
Yeah, they did that.
But it was so tame compared to this.
I mean, Obi-Wan doesn't disappears.
That throne room sequence, they are just like stabbing people through the head with lightsabers and like.
Yeah, you know. I mean,
what movie is it in the? Is it a?
Yeah, he did. He just
he still. That was the coolest shit. Was
he
when
turned
he
turned it on?
He just turned a lightsaber on through a guy's head.
I'm trying to remember. I was traveling because my dad showed me the originals, and then what's it? The Return of the Jedi, where they like flip the droid over to torture him and they burn his feet.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't even sit in the room to this day with that.
Watch
dude.
A droid get his feet burned.
Droid torture.
No, because he's screaming.
Feelings?
And it makes he's a cute little droid.
And they do that in Jedi too, right? They torture droids.
I guess.
So
I mean,
in Jabba's palace, they're torturing
in Empire.
Droids.
They chopped up 3PO, right?
They
or
did.
Was that Jedi?
No, in Empire they broke
in Empire.
Because Chewie has to carry him around in a bag.
Yeah.
Ooh, so those seats kind of make me feel uneasy. But this movie, I wouldn't take a little kid.
No, I agree.
Older kid, but a little kid.
But it,
no way. I'm not.
It did feel like episodic television. We're like, hey, we're gonna kill this character, man. It felt like Walking Dead or something, or Game of Thrones, or one of those where it's like, hey, you know that guy you like, and you're gonna do this whole plot with him. Oh, we're just gonna kill him right now.
I thought it was.
I don't think you're left with a whole lot coming out of this that you even care about, is there? I mean,
I thought it was crazy when Glenn crashed into the Star Destroyer in his X-wing. That was really weird.
Glenn did.
It's a Walking Dead reference.
I know, but I don't know if Glenn's alive or dead. Is Glenn alive or dead or Walking Dead?
Glenn's dead.
Okay, I don't even know. I stopped watching. My interest died before Glenn.
Well, yeah. The death of Glenn turned a lot of people off.
Oh, okay. So, well, I mean, this movie, again, I think it's, you know, if you like Star Wars, you'll.
I had fun, but don't take a little kid.
Don't take a little kid.
But
I agree with that.
We are also shitting on it because I think Star Wars is like carries too big a place in the culture.
But
well, it too many expectations are put upon it.
Okay, let's.
And it is an entertaining movie.
Okay,
I'm not going to say I wasn't ever bored.
Yeah.
Although I think maybe we got the point with like Luke not wanting to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
We got about four.
They drummed that.
We got about four scenes of that when like two would have done.
That was too much.
Well, okay. We talk about Marvel movies all the time on the podcast, and about how they just kind of come out. We don't anticipate them. They come out, and we go or we don't go. But they come out, and you're kind of like, all right. And I know there's a segment of people that care and want, like, oh, I can't believe what they're going to do in the next Avengers. But it seems like they've made enough of those, and it feels like maybe Star Wars is going that way where, hey, we're just making more.
Yeah.
And whatever happens,
they're also
happens,
literally
and
recycling plot points.
Yeah, too much. I mean, Force Awakens was too much of that. Again, on repeat viewings, I thought.
Well, I felt like there was some very Empire-y scenes in this where they were making
the
direct
Yoda stuff. Yeah,
they were making direct reference to Empire. Yeah. And like, well, at one point they fly the Millennium Falcon through the pink crystal salt,
which was sort of
caves,
like Empire. Yeah,
which was a
like
scene in Empire where they go into the asteroid.
Yeah.
It was like,
it's I mean, Rian Johnson, I think, did a good job considering that. But, I mean, look, the casino fucking world. That should not gotten past the concept art stage.
By the way, if we cut that sequence out of the movie,
yeah,
nothing would have been
and
different.
We all get 25 minutes in our
they
lives.
They could have just found Benicio del Toro somewhere else.
But are they beholden to that using that kid now? Is that sort of the new Rian Johnson trilogy that they've announced? After episode 9.
What, the kid that's on
the kid that's the stable boy.
That's going to throw the rebellion on that planet?
Well, he's wearing the rebellion ring.
The fucking rebellion decoder ring.
And he's got the
little orphan Annie.
That he got out of a box of Cookie Crisp.
I mean, is that who we're going to look forward to seeing in the future? I don't know.
Normally, I would say definitely, but this movie fucked with us so much that I don't know. It could be a red herring.
Yeah, I just feel like everything. I feel like most of the loose ends of the original trilogy, they're all tied up now. Because that was my complaint I had about Force Awakens, was there wasn't enough Luke. I wanted to see what Luke was going to do. And I think the movie gave us that, so it was, I guess, satisfying in that way, even if, you know, the Luke stuff I thought was handled pretty well. Yeah. I do think, you know, but I don't feel like, I mean, I can't speak for me. Maybe there's somebody who's never seen Star Wars and Force Awakens was your first one and you really love, you know, Rey and Poe and Finn. But I'm not that guy.
You know what I kind of really liked about Luke is that he had not evolved into Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He wasn't suddenly this like wise mystic. He was always just Luke.
Yeah.
He just happened to be older and sadder. Yeah. But at the end when he was like, all his dialogue was basically like, when he was like, see you later, kid.
Yeah.
Like Luke was still a fully human character. He wasn't like a mystic wizard.
Yeah.
He was, which I thought they handled him really well.
To
me, the whole sequence where he comes, as Josh said, his hair gets darker.
Well, yeah, that's the force
thing. Which is your tip off.
And they do the flashbacks to when Kylo was being trained, and he looks visibly younger.
Well,
he appears
to Kylo as the last way Kylo saw him.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know.
But does that mean that his interaction with Leia on that base
didn't happen?
Was also like
that was an
Luke's force trick?
I think he was putting his... Yeah, I think Leia can also read his mind.
Because then it wasn't like, well, you don't have a... how did he get into the base? And I know Poe mentions that. Again, Poe is the voice of the audience so much of this.
It was probably...
There was a way that he came in. There's got to be a way out of here because he came in from somewhere.
It was probably easier to interact with Leia because she can read his mind anyway.
What ship did he take?
He didn't.
Oh, he didn't. Because he was on his planet. All right. And by the way, the lightsaber. Let's talk about the lightsaber because I'm trying to. I didn't know. Corey leaned over to me and goes, "Which lightsaber is that anyway?"
Okay.
So the blue lightsaber, which if you want to start with the prequels as beginning of the canon, was Anakin's lightsaber.
Obi-Wan gives to Luke.
Where
did Obi-Wan's lightsaber go?
Okay, that fell onto his robe in the Death Star.
Did Darth Vader just throw it out the
then
window?
Luke loses. Okay, then Luke loses the light. This is the question that I have. Luke loses the lightsaber at the end of Empire Strikes Back when his arm gets cut off, it falls. Somehow that ends up in the hands of Max Kanata, or Maz Kanata, okay, in Force Awakens. But in the flashbacks in this movie, they show Kylo with the blue lightsaber that I think you were supposed to believe was that. So did Maz actually get it through Kylo Ren or somehow? Like you know what
well,
I mean? Like,
okay,
why
and
is
then,
that?
And then so
Luke has the green one, which he builds at the beginning of Return of the Jedi to complete his Jedi training.
And then when he's Illusion Luke, he has a blue lightsaber.
Yes, he has that original lightsaber in the Illusion.
I thought he should have had the green.
He should have if it was real, but since it's an illusion, he's going to be using... I think they were trying to make it look... They were playing off Vader and Obi-Wan a lot. Yeah. And that was red versus blue in Star Wars.
But they just showed him with the green one.
Well, in...
And he should have still had the green one.
Well, but again, that wasn't real, so you can give him any light. But I'm saying, and then that blue one blows up when... After the fight with the Imperial Guards, and they blow it up, that one seemed to be blown to bits. So that lightsaber is no more?
She had it in two pieces at the end. Because they pulled it, they force pulled it apart.
Is that what,
Rey,
I don't know.
No, and Rey's sitting there talking to Leia, and she's holding it, and you can see the crystal in it.
Oh, okay.
And
maybe,
it's like broken in half.
I don't know what I was doing.
That makes sense.
But we have the fucking one that Maz Kanata had. So
but how did Maz Kanata get that lightsaber?
Well, now I got it. God damn it
all.
No.
Now
I got
it. They didn't understand it.
This.
Okay. we talked about, okay, you and I did a preview podcast for Force Awakens before we saw it. And I told you a fan theory, I think off the air because I didn't even want to ruin it, that the story of Force Awakens was going to be they found Luke's arm and they were able to clone Luke into Kylo Ren. By using the DNA of his arm that got cut off. Now, I assumed
is a clone of Luke.
Okay, and then what I assumed was that the arm, rather than using the whole arm thing, because it was either too graphic or it was going to be too, that they just said the lightsaber. So in a way, part of that theory actually made it into the movie, but it was just the lightsaber that was found by Maz.
Okay, but by the way, this...
On Bespin,
by the
which
way,
is where that fight took place in the Cloud City.
Okay, by the way, cloning's a big deal in this universe. So that's a very plausible theory. When Kylo Ren goes, oh, your parents were nobodies, they just fucking dropped you in the river.
Yeah.
Those are her adoptive parents. She's a clone of Luke.
Mm. Well, she wouldn't be a clone. She's a girl.
Okay, but they used his genetic material to grow her.
And Luke and Leia are not identical twins.
Right.
They
well,
can't
they, well,
be.
They were fraternal twins.
Yeah.
But they were born at the same time.
And then you're thinking...
As the greatest med droids in the future, stand around and let her die in pregnancy.
She's a clone of Padme. I've answered the whole fucking thing. There you go.
I hate those
It's a clone of
so
Natalie
much.
Portman. She kind of looks like Natalie Portman.
By the way, I'm going to fix the prequels for you right here. Okay?
Fix them now.
I'm going to... Okay. If we take out the fucking Jedi...
You got 30 seconds.
If we take out the Jedi monk element of it,
yeah.
I'm going to fix the whole fucking prequel trilogy for you.
All right.
Anakin... Why does Anakin turn evil? I don't know, something to do with the fucking sand people. Who cares? Here's the story. He falls in love with Padme. Their love is forbidden. They secretly marry. But she has an affair with Obi-Wan.
What?
Yeah, Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan is Luke and Leia's father.
And that drives that drives Anakin insane.
What?
That he catches his mentor with her.
Right.
And you then suddenly have... Fully realized yes. fucking characters
and,
who behave like adults who have sex.
And it makes
I hate
sense.
The fucking monks.
And it makes sense for Kenobi to look after Luke secretly because that is actually his son. That would make sense then, doesn't it?
All makes sense.
Huh?
Ellen? I just fixed it, made it better.
But then the big reveal of Darth Vader being his father wouldn't be anything, and I thought that's what this was all about.
Well, actually, it could still be. You know what? They could still be his kids. But just Obi-Wan had an affair with her.
Vader thinks that's his kid.
Oh.
Vader would still think that Luke is his son.
Well, we'd have a question as to the parentage.
Yes.
But either way, they'd have force sensitivity.
It would make sense for Vader to go bad. But here's the thing. Vader...
All right, you know what they should have fucking done, by the way? That bullshit where Zeus came and impregnated Anakin's mom.
Yes. Yeah, that one they never resolved either.
They ignored that. Snoke should have been Vader's real father.
Yeah. She drank too much.
I just made that better, too.
Too much.
What if Snoke was the fucking real father of Vader?
Well, I thought Snoke could have been the father. Yeah, Snoke could have been the father. No, but I thought they were saying, I think isn't there a scene where the Emperor is sitting with Anakin in episode 3 and he's talking about his Mentor, and it was some guy that we never saw again.
Well, we'll never care.
All right, here's a, what was I going to tell you? Oh, God. Jedi does not make sense.
None of them make sense.
Okay, but here's why Jedi doesn't make sense. Let me. Okay,
you just
shut up.
Made me hate
Listen
Star
to me.
Wars. I can't do it anymore.
Please leave. Jedi doesn't make sense because Luke is running around saying, I know there's good in him. He slaughtered children. He did a fucking Sandy Hook on a bunch of kids. And yeah, we're supposed to find good in him. And now we're going to find good in fucking
Kylo Ren
after he put a fucking laser sword through Han Solo.
And it's revealed he also did the same thing Anakin did, where he killed all the other kids.
I mean, we cannot find good in Kylo Ren. He's a bad guy.
But
he's gotta
stay love interest with Rey is what's going to make
Kylo did stop from killing his own mother.
Yes, they did have him back.
He killed Han, but then he hesitated from blowing
up. In the trailer, they did a cut that made it look like he blew her up. Mm. In the trailer. Made it look
he
like
blowed her up good.
Anyway, speaking of bloater up, let's bloater up the show and get out of here because it's late. I want to thank everybody for coming out and doing this tonight. It was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joel.
Star Wars, yeah.
Josh Boab, everybody.
Josh Boab. Where can we find Josh Boab?
Somewhere we can find a film that Josh and I made that's been sitting on the shelf for 2 years if you ever finish it.
I will one
We
day.
Made a short film together with the great Samantha Rager.
Oh, yeah. Sam's been on
it. It was very good, actually. And it's
sitting on the shelf somewhere in the lost closet.
It's in the can.
It's in the vault.
It's in the can along
with
the... Well,
it involves two holidays. So
that's
if you,
true.
You're missing the window on this holiday, but
coming out
it
next
revolves
year.
To another holiday.
Okay, that
so
will
you
be
can
my
get
goal.
Get it out by that next holiday.
Well, could this possibly be like a Hallmark Christmas movie? Is that any possibility
of that?
It has
a Christmas element to it.
Could we?
I don't want to spoil it.
Could we link to your podcast when we actually edit
we'll
it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
We'll premiere it on the podcast.
Yeah, come on and talk about it.
We'll review it
and
the whole thing.
All right, well, Ellen, tell everybody about you, what you're doing, where people can find anything. Okay, you're going to be in Mark Hamill's autograph line. And besides that, where else were
can
you?
Can I ask Ellen one question? Because it was last time that she first got Roger. And so we need a Roger.
Oh, the cat that made you late for the show last year.
He's a little over a year old now.
All right.
And he's trying to have sex with my other cat.
Oh.
That's not, I'm not trying to say it to be funny, but he's a young cat. Who has these physical urges and
he's in his
but he's
adolescence.
A lot bigger now. But I'm glad you remembered him. And he's been the picture of him as a kitten from when I first got him popped up in my memories.
My goodness! Wow.
got him from a fellow comics significant other, Brandon Milsk's girlfriend.
I know Brandon, and I know his
I got the cat from. Mm-hmm. But he was actually probably gonna die, but. He was resurrected from the dead.
What was Brandon going to do to the cat?
No, not because of them, but because he was just this little street cat found in
they
the Port Huron area, and he couldn't, he was just this little, and he had this mat
scruffy.
Over his
He
butt,
was Ray. He was
he
the Ray.
Yeah.
He was scrounging on
I don't know.
Jack Cook
it,
or whatever.
No. Shout out to Brandon Mills. Thank you for bringing this cat into my life. But I'm just, the kitten is doing... Great. He's
awesome.
Very healthy now.
Good, good.
And happy.
You're good, good.
And
dear.
Can poop just fine. Because that was a big part. We didn't
know
what was
important.
Wrong. Why
the kitten
he wasn't
talk
eating
with
or...
Ellen.
I think
podcast in there.
I'd like a weekly segment of kitten talk with Ellen. You can call in and discuss the cat's doing.
The cats are doing.
I mean, I don't have any shows to plug, so this is
But Ellen, you can see Ellen.
If you have a show, put Ellen on it.
Yeah.
Because... You'll be entertained off stage, at least. I can tell you that much. She'll be
something. Just don't put her in the first part of the show. She'll probably miss her spot.
Oh,
put her later in the show because she'll be.
I know myself.
Oh man, Josh, we're waiting on this movie. I can't wait to.
We gotta get that movie going. But anyway, thanks for listening to Joel Radio, and we got this up real quick for you here and all that. So I hope you appreciate it. And you saw it, and tell us what you thought, and we'll talk about. We're gonna do a show next week, a regular type show. I'm gonna talk about my New York adventures and. That was something else.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about everything that went down there. Bruce Springsteen, all kind of stuff. It was fun. And terrorist attacks, blizzards. I saw it all.
Oh, good time.
I was there for it all. I lived life. Wow. It was like more happened in the last 4 days to me than happened in this Star Wars movie, believe it or not. And we'll talk about it all on next week's show. So thank you for that, Corey. We'll see you then for that. And,
thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We had a good time with you. Keep listening to Joel Radio. Catch us on the Facebook. We're on there, right? JoelRadio.net?
Yeah.
I think. Something like that.
Usually we end these things with a bang. We go out of here. We're limping.
I got up at 3 a.m. today. I am not.
all the Star Wars plot holes basically drained the life force out of me.
There's no more. Brains are soft from force.
You know what? I think when you said midichlorians,
that's it.
Like I felt my life force starting to drain out of my body. I just started going, no, don't do it to me again.
I guess we'll hear y'all on this solo movie review that we'll do at some point. Listen, I spared you.
You might have to do that solo.
I spared you the new Ghostbusters movie review.
Jesus Christ.
John Tenney did that one.
Poor John had to suffer
through
that one.
I had to go through that. It seemed like a cultural event, that new Ghostbusters.
It sure didn't.
By the way, why was Melissa McCarthy not Rose? She kind of was a Melissa McCarthy-esque kind of spunky, bumbling caricature.
Rose did her thing. At least she wasn't a frog with goggles that they that they FaceTimed for 5 minutes. There's no fucking reason.
They did FaceTime.
I think they needed Lupita Nyong'o's contract. Had to probably obligated to be in this thing.
That scene really was for nothing, because it's just like, find the guy with the lapel, and then like he wasn't even.
And then it was a false.
What was Maz doing during that call?
She was running up a flight of stairs.
No, but it was
Donkey
like
Kong.
No, but it was like she was playing laser tag or something.
It was
like some
around.
Oh, it's terrible. Anyway, some good, some bad. I mean, what can I tell you? A lot like this show. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.